Penis. Clay Mason, Clay Aiken, penis.
The human torch was denied a bank loan.
I think you have your opening.
The human torch.
Yeah, I think so. Let's go with that. Claymation, Clay Aiken.
Did you get rather hot-headed after that?
Thanks, Dad.
That's terrifying.
It's funnier the more you say it.
It's a good intro.
Listener warning. Everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
Giant black throbbing G2B tower. Basement of G2B tower, pummeling northeastern Racine County.
Throbbing into the hearts of our listeners.
Just the hearts?
Throbbing into the hearts on of our listeners. It's Guys, Games, and Beer!
Yay! And stuff.
Wow, we're enthusiastic.
We are kind of enthusiastic tonight. Let's
Suck your foam!
Oh, well, wait, no, wait.
It's gonna burst your
What are we doing with our show beer?
Wait, no.
Alright, let's start with show requests. Jenny from Schenectady said, "Why the hell do you cheer at the beginning of the podcast? That's stupid."
Yay! Yay, Jenny! Yay, we're stupid! Yay!
We're trying to drag the Master Preston sad.
Oh, wait, I just saw a weirdo concert. I am sorry.
Oh. Is that real or did you make that up?
That, it's real, but the name was changed to
Protect the Innocent.
Yes.
Alright, so.
It was Rob.
First of all,
he love us.
Before we actually get to the topic of tonight's show, we're probably wanting to drink. Oh, actually, we've been drinking since before the show started, but we're probably wanting to drink this beer. So, what's the show beer tonight, Rob?
Why, Tom? I don't know.
Well,
it's Golden Amber Lager from Wisconsin Brewing Company.
So, yeah, Wisconsin Brewing Company out of beautiful Verona, Wisconsin.
Veruca?
Verona, not Veruca. Oh. Veruca Salts.
For those who don't know, that's very close to Madison.
It is very close to Madison. You might as well, be in Madison if you're in Verona, Wisconsin. They've got a fairly good sized brewery up there. They do tours in the whole nine yards. This is what, a 5.5 by alcohol content. It's a lager, and you know I like my lagers, so hence the reason we're doing that. Smells a touch on the yeasty side, though.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of like wheat on the front of it. Like it's
yeah, but that
you're drinking
wheat,
a farm.
Wheat does not mean yeasty.
Smells like a well-used whore.
Oh my god.
Yeasty?
Post?
Yes.
Pre-washing. Not post-washing.
I don't know about that.
It's a little weak.
It's okay.
It's a little wheat.
A little weak?
No, it's also very weak. It's also very weedy.
I get the reference. I get why they put wheat on the label.
Because it's a really weedy beer.
But it's weak in overall flavor. Doesn't have much.
Those are amber waves of grain. Oh, America. Ooh.
America.
By the way, I'd like to take this moment to talk about, since this is the first time we've gotten together since this study came out, that yes, Wisconsin is the most drinkingest state.
We're still number one! Yeah!
That's why we cheer.
Who commented that it was probably us? Didn't somebody on Facebook comment? Probably you. Man.
It's pretty fantastic.
Yeah. I really like that comment.
In every measurable category.
Okay. On the beer. I'm going to go.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'll give it the sideways. It's okay. I mean, I drink it.
Yeah, so. I would drink it. I'm just. It's nothing I would go out of my way.
Like
I
never order something. It.
I never
but
buy
it's
it.
It's a good working beer.
No, I wouldn't call this a working beer.
No, the alcohol content's a little high.
It's 5.5.
Whatever, man built that shit.
I mean, assuming you can finish it.
Yeah.
You know, you.
Yeah, when I'm working, I like a beer that goes down quick and smooth. You know, it's like. Yeah.
Like a whore.
That's why you invite Rob over, Tom.
That's right. Goes down quick and smooth.
I did notice that you shaved today, Rob.
I did?
Oh.
For those of you listening, Rob looked down at his groin.
Which is most of us.
All right.
Some manscaping.
All right, so, Rob, what is the real topic tonight?
13-year-old.
Right, so, besides your manscaping.
So, we should put that up as a topic. So, The Facebook topic this week was, it was SNES versus Genesis, and I figured that would decide the topic because we were having a hard time deciding among ourselves. We might just stay with the Nintendo thing though, but...
And a television won!
Yes, and a television won! There's a TG-16
in there.
It was a
passionate defense of it.
It won! He really backed it up with stats.
Damn, he was serious.
He was going at it, man. So yeah, for those of you who haven't seen the Facebook posts on this, somebody actually... We were talking about the Genesis versus the SNES. They're both 16-bit systems, and they were both roughly the same. The Genesis is 2 years earlier than the SNES, but...
Because it came first. Because it's the Genesis.
Of the 16-bit era.
Well, really, of the 16-bit
except
era.
For Intellivision.
Right. But the Intellivision... But then one of our many Facebook fans reminded people that the Intellivision was really a 16-bit processor before 16-bit was popular, and...
It was
made a strong defense for the Intellivision.
Yep.
And then I noticed that was a Motorola.
Yeah, that was a Motorola chip.
And then I was thinking, when I saw Motorola, I was thinking, yeah, really the Amiga is the best 16-bit system.
Well, we'll get to that when we get to it. Well,
the Amiga will become a topic, but...
Yes, we'll get to that when we get to it. Okay, so...
So, on to strategy.
So let's talk a little bit about the history of the SNES, Rob.
Oh, man. It was released in 1990 in Japan, and 1991 in the United States.
What's that age, the span from the NES? Just a few years?
No, quite a bit.
No, 83, I don't think so.
84. They didn't want to make...
86?
The NES, well, I want to say, was 86. Let me just take the...
I think it was like earlier in Japan.
We just said this in the last damn episode, too. That's the worst part. We actually put out that fact. Nintendo really did not want to make a 16-bit system right away. They wanted to hold off, but they were rushed by the Genesis.
But then the Genesis came out, and they were like, oh, crap, we're behind. See, that's the thing about Nintendo, is, like, they'll just, like, happily... And, like, they do a good job. Like, they'll, like, build on older technology, and stuff that's developed well, and, like, you know, basically doesn't have any bugs to it, and is cheap to produce.
Yeah, 85 and 86 for the NES in America and Europe. So yeah, like, so not that much.
And like
afterwards.
They intentionally, like, I mean, like, by the time the NES came out, I mean, there was definitely like better technology out there, but like this was reliable and cheap to manufacture comparatively. So they try to like build off of stuff that's already existed for a bit.
Right. They're not doing any groundbreaking technology.
They ended up, and we'll get into it a bit here, but I mean they ended up pushing it, like these 16-bit, you know, processors to very extreme limits actually. They did some really cool tricks and things like that to, you know, like.
But was that with the 16? That wasn't with the 16-bit processor. That was with their graphics set, wasn't
no,
it?
No, the I forget what it's called. I'll pull it up in just a second. But basically with like backgrounds and things like that.
Yeah, but that was on the graphics chip. That wasn't the 16-bit
processor.
Yeah,
but I mean still, like they. All right.
You follow me.
I mean, yes, they were doing cool tricks, but
I've got some of that in.
Getting extra nerdy, do you always call a system its bit level by its CPU?
Yes.
Rather than any of its graphics sound.
Yes, unfortunately you do, because the processor still controls everything else. Even if you have multitasking chips, that's
like the wiener.
Yes, it's still the bit level is set by its main processor.
Okay. Which is why Right,
because again, the Amiga was a 16-bit system, but it had all sorts of co-processors. But you still, even nowadays, you're defining a computer by its main processor, even though the main processor is just doing the bare basics. You know, your graphics card is doing far more, usually nowadays, than your main processor is.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, back
Ovin did on the SNES, too. Let's see.
Which
in Japan...
So it had a co-processor also, graphics chip.
Kind of, sort of, yeah.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
I'm going to cover that a little
bit. All right. I was trying to give you a lead.
Let's see. In Japan, it's called the Super Famicom. Duh. We know that.
I didn't know that. It was the Super Famicom.
In
Korea, it was called the Convoy?
Which is kind of a weird name for a system.
Due to a weird licensing mess.
So why not Famicom? Why Convoy?
I do not know.
They couldn't enter that market, so actually another company, much like they were going to do in the U.S. with the Nintendo.
Oh, so he's just a third-party distributor. Okay.
Yeah. Wait, but why boy?
Don't know.
Boy means something different?
I mean, they still
need like old boy.
Old boy.
That's all old boy. Old boy.
Yo, boy! Best-selling console worldwide of the 16-bit era. Maybe not in the U.S. Kind of rough. Kind of rough to determine because Sega's not real good with their numbers. Yeah. They were neck and neck till the end, though.
They were necking?
They were next.
That being said, you have to remember that Sega had like 2 years on them.
They yeah, like I, but they dropped out early time. Too.
That's
yeah.
true. That's
SNES lasted well into the.
They actually kept in Japan. They produced them to like 2003.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. As well as the NES.
They Holy crap.
Until 2003.
Yep.
Wow. Japan.
That's why there's so damn many of them.
Yeah. Well, that's not a bad thing.
Darn straight. It was designed by Masayuki Yamera, designer of the original Famicom.
He watched a video on how to pronounce that name.
He did. He got corrected it from last time. Week. Yeah, he did.
Totally did not.
he just learned Japanese.
Yeah, interesting fact. The North American Super Nintendo is not software region locked. As some people believe, it's actually locked out by a couple of stubs of plastic, which you can just break off. Don't do this at home unless you know what you're doing.
Or folks. Just take the internals out.
Yeah. Yep.
YouTube's amazing, though.
So a Super Famicom game can actually be played in it without any real issues. Oh, here's some interesting. We all were like, you know, people that were playing like that, that Game Boy, the Super Game Boy, you know, the
Game Boy Advance.
Super Game Boy.
Yeah, I was actually gonna bring that up.
The Super Nintendo was not powerful enough to even come close to emulating a Game Boy. That device was actually an entire Game Boy in a box without a screen. And a controller.
Whoa.
There's an entire Game Boy on a chip.
Can we make that?
Well,
into, can
set.
We make one into a Game Boy? Can we do that?
Could
you
put a screen in it?
Could.
No. Yeah, I'd imagine you could.
I do have to admit though, that's one of my favorite things.
All right, what you do is you take the digital snap-on screen, and you. Oh, I'm sorry.
I don't know if it has a video. It's probably uses. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
It's got a video out somehow.
Say, yeah, it passes it through the SNES, but I don't know if it uses its own video and then just. You know, pipes in. I'm not sure.
Mm.
Oh, early in its development, Nintendo had planned to make the SNES backward compatible by having a second cartridge slot in it for the NES cartridges.
So that would have made it super.
Then it would have been the Retron 2.
Right, it would have been the Retron. but they decided it was going to be really expensive. According to the thing I read, it would have cost $70 more, which would have been pretty extreme. Which is kind of odd, because I think the NES cost less than that at the time. But, oh well, whatever. Why was the SNES shape so ugly?
Yes, exactly. Why was it so ugly?
So you could not put a drink on it. They had a problem with Nintendo's people on the NES in the U.S. People would set their drink on it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's
so they
why
made
the
it oddball shaped so that you could
the curves and
can we make a cup holder?
Actually,
grab that SNES. Let's see if we can put a drink on it.
$20 if you can get a drink on that SNES.
Oh, I'll spill a drink on that SNES.
No, don't spill a drink on it. It's mine.
Spill two drinks on it then.
On the day of the Japanese release, Nintendo's
there were celebrations. It was a national holiday.
It kind of
everyone off had off of work.
Nobody went to school. I'll say that their initial shipment of 300,000 units were sold out within hours. Because nobody was going to school, the Japanese government asked video game manufacturers to please schedule your release dates on weekends. So from then on, they did.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
That's very polite.
Yeah, it's very respectful.
That's Japanese.
Yeah.
That's
Japanese.
They probably were like, do that or we'll kill your family.
Yeah.
That's probably true. You could, I don't have that in here, but you could fit a 64 megabyte... 64 megs total of ROM data on a cartridge. But the reality is the largest cartridges were 48 because you had to save some room for saving and other stuff that required you to actually use main memory in the system. Kind of interesting. Yeah. How exciting is that?
That is
exhilarating.
Interesting. It's the most
wait,
important
oh,
you guys have ever been.
Final Fantasy III. How much was in that?
We
got
to do that.
Right?
It seemed like that thing was...
The SNES is kind of boring next to the NES. We had this discussion earlier that because it was their second system, they already had like a lot of the problems that you saw with the NES ironed out. So there's
like,
not
there,
as exciting
to
of
be
issues
fair,
going on.
Like, okay, the console itself, pretty straightforward, was pretty great for its time, had a great price point. But really what it came down to is the games and some of the weird crap that came out for it. I mean, like, anybody, like, Mario Paint?
Awesome!
Yeah, they had a mouse for it. Let's see, there was, on the American side, there was a dial-up modem cartridge you can plug into it.
Japan had that, too.
I know, Japan had a satellite modem.
Yep.
that you could buy in. And basically, and I was just talking about this before the show, you could only download things from between 4 and 7, because that's when you could actually get the satellite signal. So 4 and 7 p.m. daily. And they
that
had,
is dope.
Yeah, they had, like, a few things you could download. You could download games and play them to the cartridge.
I love that.
They also had a...
Did they have a good pick-up?
Almost, like...
So, like, if you were half downloading...
They had, like, Zelda,
around,
Zelda 3, as well
up.
As, like an episodic Zelda, which was almost like a radio drama. They actually had... They had, like, alternate dungeons. You had a character that wasn't Link, but it was in the Zelda Link to the Past universe. And then they actually had somebody talking over the satellite connection. So you actually heard a voice on while you were playing the game.
What?
Kind of instructing through part of these dungeons, as well as you got high scores, you could win real prizes, which was really weird. They had some really, really weird stuff for the SNES, especially in Japan.
You know,
the U.S.
You know what? Now I know what I'm going to do with my time machine. I'm going to go back.
And play that.
I can play
and
that.
And every day between 4 and 7 in Japan, I'm going to watch
There's some old Japanese satellite up there still transmitting.
Yeah,
I'll snap that. A little Mario printed on the side of it.
Yeah, with our luck, though, it's between like 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. or something crazy like that. Get it.
Let's play the launch game. How many launch games did the SNES have in Japan?
18. Game. What's a launch
Wrong.
Game?
Damn.
What's a launch game? Is a whole new like series of games that they're starting.
Okay, so Zelda
22.
Would not be a launch game.
No.
Not by the time
we're not
SNES.
Close.
Right, not by the time.
Not even close.
30, that's why I started going 30. Up.
Well,
how many?
300.
No. It's actually a fairly small number, I'm betting, because they like you said, they tend to pick up on their old stuff.
It's whopping.
It really.
Two.
Two.
F-Zero and Super Mario World.
F-Zero was so good, though.
So good.
Yeah,
like you said, they go with
the
stuff. They don't come up with the stuff.
F-Zero
and
Super Mario. Super Mario World.
Wait,
your beer! Suck your
beer's
phone!
Going crazy!
Suck it, Rob, suck it! Oh, did you see the tongue? He immediately went to lick the tip!
Ew, alright, well.
I need to excuse myself for
a second.
I love you,
beer. I'm going to my bunk.
Okay, so, but I have a question. Now, I'm not sure about that. What about Star Fox? Or
Star Fox was way later.
Later.
Super late.
Yep.
Launch titles.
Like system launch titles.
Okay,
yeah,
so
they weren't just like
the
two
very
games.
Day
was,
the very day you could buy the system.
You could buy two games. So you're pretty well set.
Right.
The good news is they were great freaking games, so. Yeah. The U.S. also had a launch. And
really?
They had 5 games, and the games were
Super Mario World.
You can guess some. Yeah, Super Mario World,
F-Zero.
Right.
Gradius 3, nice strong release title. Pilot Wings, another solid release title.
I hated it.
And SimCity, what the?
I
really?
Hate that
no,
game.
You're kidding.
That was a launch title. That was popular though
for the nerds.
Yeah.
Time. That was a cross-platform.
It wasn't right though. Didn't make it right.
SimCity 2000 added to your SimCity experience
because Bowser could
giant
destroy your
Godzilla monsters that would kill your cities that you were building,
just
so.
Like real life in Japan.
Yeah,
but it was released in America, so it's what we've received. In Japan.
Well, we still dreamed about being in Japan.
Yeah,
so that that makes sense.
I do sometimes. Man, did you see that video with the? I don't know who it was. It was like a heavy metal guy with
oh god, that is just weird.
Oh,
yeah.
So good.
Wait, what?
I loved it. I couldn't stop watching.
After baby metal got popular, all of these other like metal guys are like hanging out with Japanese and Korean and Asian girls.
It was
to create bands, like these metal bands. And this one guy, it's one guy and two girls, and the guy is dressed up in all these
made
like,
outfits,
made in schoolgirl outfits.
It was
as with these two girls, and they're doing metal.
Yeah, I loved it. Though. I couldn't stop watching it.
I love baby metal.
The music was good.
Like,
yeah.
Sounds terrific.
No, it really wasn't all that bad. I've seen worse. All
right.
Hey, remember?
All
when
right.
Came out,
when
the SNES came out, Turning Japanese, I believe, was a popular song. So.
That song's about jerking it.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I got your picture.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm all over your face.
Oh my god.
Wow.
I thought it was just racist.
No.
Just the dude jerking off.
It can still be racist.
I want a picture.
It can be racist.
Yeah.
It is racist, but it's also got an undertone
of creepy.
Of auto erotica.
That's
hey,
awesome.
But you could totally innocently listen to it and go, Oh, he just likes Japanese culture.
Yeah.
He likes masturbating to Japanese culture.
Yeah. All right, so back to the SNES.
Hey, there's multiple levels.
And masturbating the Japanese culture.
Rough estimate of units sold
worldwide. Is that what we're right now?
49.10 million fans sold. 23.35 were sold
that's
in the U.S.
More people.
Well, what an exact number. 23.35. That's what makes
sense. I thought he said billion.
I thought he said 49 million.
More than there are people on Earth.
Everybody got 100.
Seven times the number of people on Earth?
Everybody had three. Or like 10.
Yeah,
you know what? In a way, though, I feel kind of proud to own one because what? There's 7 billion people, and I got one of the 49 million? Yeah! That's pretty good numbers.
Alright.
Ah, damn okay. It, John Larry numbers.
Nintendo.
Hey, break down the percentage.
Nintendo Power.
Greatest.
How many colors did it have total? 32,768, which is actually kind of a normal type of number for that.
Didn't come with a demo cartridge, though.
Cartridges are expensive to manufacture. And ship.
Yes. It had 8-channel audio. I was a 16-bit chip, though.
Sony actually did the manufacturing for
that.
Yep,
they did.
Really?
Yep. The beginning of their Sony partnership. Yeah.
I saw a crazy SNES PlayStation combo.
Yep.
There was some debate whether that was a real picture or...
It looked questionable.
I threw it on the site, you know, it was a Yahoo story.
Yeah, it was Yahoo picked it up.
Yahoo
so think...
picked it up from Reddit.
Don't trust anything on Yahoo.
Yeah,
or Reddit.
That being said, the guy who called it in question could not back up his sources saying it was a fake.
Yeah. Right.
I will let it stand for now.
It's a possibility.
And there was definitely a PlayStation NES.
Oh, there was that partnership.
Connection.
There was that partnership.
And
they did make the prototypes.
And there were models of them. I mean,
there have been models of them show up in the wild.
It's just that one is a really early one.
Yeah.
You mean like in a safari in Africa?
Yes. Yes.
We're playing Big Buck Hunter?
Yes.
And that we're playing Rhino Hunter with a chainsaw. Which wasn't that the direction Nintendo didn't want to go? That was the riff?
No, they actually wanted to go to CDs before, but again, that relationship fell apart between Sony and Nintendo because they started courting Philips. So basically, we're kind of getting screwed out of this deal, so...
And
Nintendo was very shady about it. So then the Sony deal fell apart, and then the Philips deal fell apart with Nintendo, but then Philips also retained the rights to make certain games that all led to, like, those crappy Zelda games and things like that.
CDI. Every Zelda game is good.
Not on the CDI they were.
Nope.
Okay, no, not on the CDI they were.
Excuse me, princess.
Thank you.
Hey, you watch yourself. That cartoon show is amazing.
So, SNES was...
Back to Rob's story.
SNES was like unusual in that it allowed chip upgrades in cartridges. In other words, you could upgrade your chipset through a cartridge, which is kind of the precursor to, like, early 3D graphics cards, like the 3DFX, which still used your base card, but plugged it in for extra abilities, and the FX chip is a good example of that. While I'm on graphics, I guess I could mention there were 8 graphics modes.
Mode 7
being the last and most famous. Of course, they were programmers in tech, so they started at 0, like you're supposed to do in the tech world. 0's
no,
a number there.
No, just start at 1.
No, you started 0.
No.
I started 3.789.
That's fine, too.
The processor is interesting.
All right.
It's a Ricoh 5A22. It's basically based on the 16-bit 65-8000 series core, which, incidentally, was used on lots of famous computers, such as the Apple IIgs. Yep. Crazy. It's
a Motorola ripoff.
Yeah, runs at.
They were giving those things away at the time.
Runs at about 21.5 megahertz, depending.
Gigawatts.
Yeah, they had enough guts that they could get away with that, I guess, with the PAL stuff too. I think, as I recall. Yeah, that Sony did processor for audio. It was capable of 16-bit with 8 channels. That's pretty crazy.
That is actually fairly good for the time, audio-wise.
Pretty impressive. 8 channels is a lot for back then. Think about that. The layers probably used up all the RAM in this stupid thing. Just, it only had 120 kilobytes.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
God dang it. I am so sick of the term kilobit. Damn it, world. Nope, personal rant.
Right, no bits.
Quit using kilobit to make it look like bigger, your thing is faster. Especially you entire effing internet.
Well, to be fair, like, we're in, like, 2015 now. Like, I don't think any
No, they still use kilobit.
In fact, we still do penalty shots.
That's what
we call that.
The time machine.
A useless rant, and you'd have to take
No,
a
they
shot.
Still do that in, they still do it in, speeds, internet
count,
speeds,
count
all the time. Kilobit is constant.
Oh, that's true. For speed on your connection, they'll do that.
Yeah, and every once in a while, you'll catch it in a spec on a video game system, although now it
mega kilobytes?
Yeah.
Super gigabits.
It'll be like, wait a minute, that's a megabyte. All right, so anyway.
Kill your megabyte.
Super FX, just by the way, was a RISC CPU. How cool is that? It was a RISC CPU.
RISC-based.
Yeah, okay. RISC-based.
Reduced instruction set.
Yep. Which is popular in modern
tablets.
Yeah, that
was extra geeky on your part. I appreciate
that. Was extra
that.
Geeky.
So
yeah, that really...
That was above my head.
That was a good geek one. I was good with that.
And while it was often used for 3D game worlds, it also accelerated 2D as
yeah,
well.
Yeah,
which
yeah,
is,
of course.
Which is unlike 3DFX chips.
I think the strength of the NES was its 2D. It did 2D very well.
Probably. It was the best 2D system, in my opinion.
I agree.
In my opinion, it was the best of the systems. I love, like, other systems, too. I love TurboGrafx is another one of my favorite systems.
Yeah, which was also brought up in our question of King of 16.
Yeah, it showed up, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a 16-bit.
But I think the SNES CPU is still better.
Yeah, but only just. God, I love that system.
The SNES?
The TG.
Oh, the TG.
I love the SNES, too. There's no question that the SNES was just so awesome.
Don't be drawn in. Well, yeah, wait, not, the big head.
Yeah. We'll get around that. We were not SNES. By that time, I'd gone to PC, and not PCs, but computers, and I was always computer.
But even
gaming on computer.
Yeah, because I mean, like, by the time, like,
they don't come
the
with
US
the
launch came around, and then within a couple years, you were getting, like, the Voodoo cards. People were playing, like, Unreal Tournament, Quake 3.
Thank you.
That was, like, actually, I guess that's later, 90s.
But, hey, by the way, Doom came
getting,
out for Smash, so.
I mean, Diablo came out
just,
in 95.
Oh, yeah.
Just.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
was
yeah.
Yeah. Dial-up. And
yeah. Dial-up.
Me and Ben played the hell out of that. That's one of our favorite memories.
And that was part of, and that's part of the whole
thing. I don't know. We probably got just as much Diablo time.
Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead and go to the next subject. Emulation. Clones and emulation.
Yeah. Yes, clones, huh?
There weren't a lot of them.
Now there are,
but at the
really?
Time.
I mean, it seems like
NES was way, way easier to pirate and cheaply
and still
remanufacture.
Is. And still
remanufacture.
And still is.
Like, the parts were dirt cheap. I know there were some, like, rip-off and clone and Chinese replicant cartridges and things like that, but they were not nearly as easy.
Yeah,
to
I mean, if you go to, like, 7 Mile Fair, hyper-local reference, and
your local flea market.
And you go and buy,
why?
Like, this
they could
retro...
have Googled it, Travis. Thanks.
Learn more about the area.
God,
no one cares.
So you go and you look, and there's a box there of, oh, play these great games or whatever. It's 20 times out of 1,000.
Those are very, very specific odds.
Those were very specific odds. Really? You've been counting on
and
that?
And you really put an extra zero in
you
there.
You've done a double-blind study, actually.
And you could divide that in half, too.
You know, it's not going to be...
Just saying.
It's not going to be a SNES.
2%.
It's good. It's an NES.
Yes.
You know?
The SNES is very rarely... Not never, but very rarely... one of your emulated systems.
Clone system.
Except now, obviously.
It's one of the most popular. It's one of the most popular emulated systems.
But here. So
okay. Oh, you mean hardware rip-off?
Hardware, not
emulated. They're PC emulations. I mean, mm-hmm. Even that seems to be lower.
No, I gotta say this.
I can do it on my Android all day long.
And, like, the only qualified NES clone I think that I've ever seen, and I know a fair amount, is I think the Retron series. I really think
I agree. That's the only one that really runs everything right. to speed and with no problems.
Yeah.
There have been a few other ones.
That's an emulation. The Retron? That's an emulation.
The original 2, I don't think is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 2 and 3, I don't
think. Well, definitely the 5 is.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that the 2
is an NES and Super NES in one, and I think it's...
Are you kidding? It dumps the ROM.
Straight board
set? Really?
The Retron 5 is... And that was a big contentious point, because up to that point, they weren't like that, and then they were like, oh, hey, we can play all these games, and then everybody was up in arms when they found out it was emulation.
Not real hardware.
Oh. Bunch of whiny babies.
But at that point, this goes back down to what we talked about.
It doesn't have
the hardware.
Oh, you're not getting that.
Emulation versus hardware copy or cloning.
I would say that.
Have you seen that?
Having played it on an Android regularly, it's so good.
It plays really good on Android.
It really does.
Unlike
many systems. It plays really good.
I think it's way better just to get a shelf of 20.
Yes, it plays games I already own.
To be really well.
Very good. The emulation, I feel, has been spot on for the SNES for a long time.
Pentium 1s were running it, you know?
What was this, like 2004, 2003? I was running emulation on my PC, actually, because certain games were either just expensive or hard to find. Things like Chrono Trigger, whatever the hell it is. I mean, it for what it is, how old the game is, like, I'm not paying that for that game.
Yeah.
Screw you. So I would emulate
them.
And that's
$80 for Final Fantasy 3 is...
You need it for, like, $3 on a PlayStation.
No, screw that. If the game costs more now...
Than the original system
Costs more now than new games cost now, screw that, I'm not buying it.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
It's all that extra chippage in the battery that's in it.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
But you know what, I'm buying it so I can appreciate, or I'm emulating it so I can appreciate what the writer did, because the writer ain't getting any of that $80. No one's sending royalties to that guy.
Not in 2015.
I do feel emulation is a great option. For things like that, especially. I always prefer to own the hardware, own the game, because, I don't know, I just like it.
No, I'm with you on
that. For things like that, it's like, I'm not going
to
pay for it.
For years, I emulated, and now I've become a hardware guy, where I have to have the hardware to do it. So.
Yep. Save states are awesome, too.
So.
Some of those SNES games are just like, you don't have a save point. You die here, you're screwed, you gotta do the entire dungeon over again. Give me a save point.
Wait a minute.
Let me get save state.
I'm going to swing the camera on real quick. So...
Bye!
Say goodbye for a moment.
Right. I hope you all don't die. Bye.
Audio
is going over here.
So what's that? Oh, yeah, the mic's going over here. So we actually have a SNES set up over here right now. And as always, we put a multi-card in this because I'm a multi-card guy. And this one's the Super UFO card.
All games he has.
Here's the thing. I do not like having to swap my cartridges out. I'd rather put them in storage and keep them in storage and just use the multi-cart.
Take up space.
Oh, my God, dude. You know, if I put all my cartridges out, I literally have a basement full of cartridges. Hey, that's an idea. Let's tile the floor with it. So this one's the Super UFO in here. The cool part about the Super UFO is you can pop your SNES cartridge into it. It downloads it into the ROMs in here.
Oh, that is cool.
Isn't that great? And it's
a copy cart too.
Yeah, it's a copy cart right built into it. So it's really, really cool. It'll copy them either to the SD or right into the internal RAM, and then you can play it from the internal. So that's kind of cool.
Without racking up your pins.
That being said,
I thought the SNES was a real problem to that.
No, it wasn't. And that's the beauty of this one versus the other one. The problem with the Super UFO, though, sucky interface. My God. So this was originally like a disc-based interface for it, and it's the worst. And as always, we're using... not as always, but I prefer wireless controllers, so we've gone with the...
Ben, put your pants on.
Never! I'm naked!
With the Retrobit controllers here.
Those are modern.
Seriously?
These are very modern. You can still get these now. They're not terribly expensive.
Are they expensive?
They're 2.4... Oh, heck yes.
Yeah, that's a Retrobit.
These are the Retrobit ones, guy. They're 2.4 gigahertz.
Those.
They are really, really responsive, great controllers. So it's definitely a really nice one. Let's see here. Let's go.
Where's the porno?
What's that?
What?
Wait, I'll bring it up for you in just a minute.
Donkey Kong.
So I am going to put a gate. Oh, I went too far. Let's go back around.
Somebody said, what's Donkey Kong? That's pretty good. Comment section.
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. Steve did.
Funny,
Steve
think,
did, yeah.
What's Donkey King?
Danky Kong. Danky
Kong.
A level 2, level 3, level 4.
Wait, there's Doom.
Donkey Kong's birthday. What?
Hey, you don't have a super FX.
Doomsday Warriors. That's not Doom.
Oh, this Doomsday Warriors. Oh, you're right. It's Doomsday Warriors. Never mind. Wrong game.
But it loads nicely.
Wow.
Yeah, we'll just reset that one. I don't know what the hell that was.
That was dirty.
That was dirty.
I don't know what that is, I swear. I mean, I haven't played it thousands of times. That was a Dominator kind of thing.
Dominator.
Try.
It's got beautiful sounds for this menu system.
And no, it's got annoying sounds for this menu
Christmas
system.
Christmas music? Yeah. It plays Christmas music?
Yeah, it did.
Yes, it does. Yeah. It has nice Christmas music.
If it's, oh, really? I thought it was like Jingle Bells.
Yeah, let's see if we can find...
It's seasoned music.
Dig Dug!
Find something with
Donkey!
That's
Country
4, probably. Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah, Country 3.
Country 4?
Yep, with, what's the blue leotard dude and Trixie.
I want to play that! I've only played up to 3!
That's when it's just the kids, right?
Wow. Yeah, it's a big one, actually. It's an 18
Guy leotard.
32 megabit game? Yeah, yeah. 32 megabit game. So this is the largest they had.
Oh, that's 3.
3 megs.
No.
No, 3 is with
Diddy. Oh, it's Donkey Kong Country. That's
Again, the interface isn't bad on Super UFO. These controllers, though, if you still have your original SNES and you want a really nice wireless controller, the retrobit controllers are good. I don't think I would go ahead and get the Super UFO cartridge again. I just don't like the interface on that.
Yeah.
Hey, Trump's called it.
But, so again, you gotta admit, though, it had... this. At this point, now they're doing some really clever hacking with with the hardware. So you're getting some really pretty damn good graphics for a 16-bit system.
Oh, hell yeah! This game reinvented what you can get out of it.
Oh, this is Dixie Kong.
Dixie Kong Double Kong. That's technically right. Donkey Kong Country 4.
Hey, check out that VHS entry there. That VHS tape.
The what?
VHS
tape? But again, at this point, that's graphically, it's a fairly good game.
It was all pre-rendered.
I mean, look at this.
It's not rendering this on the fly.
No. But they do a great job. Nice.
Oh, but it's beautiful.
Oh, it looks great. It still looks great.
Yeah.
This is one of those games where the writing is just absolutely genius. That as a child I didn't read. I was like, give me the killing the crocodiles.
Yeah, I just want to kill the crocodiles.
I want to get them bananas.
Give me the bananas. So again,
I think people underestimate. Like, I mean, like, and a lot of people know Rare is a good company. But yeah. I mean, like, come on. I talked about Wizards of War, the NES,
Rare caliber,
Donkey Kong Country, made by Rare. When we get to the N64, I'll obviously talk about Perfect Dark, also made by Rare.
Wow. I actually got an N64 in the house, a real one.
Really?
Real
nice. And it's not
too I don't really collect
Conker's Fest. Hey, you probably made GoldenEye on that.
All right, so, I guess, the clone stuff, not a lot on clones. I mean, there really just isn't. So,
I was saying emulation too, so but that's fine. Oh, I think we've covered it well.
Yeah, alright, let's go ahead and talk about what our favorite games are.
Best freaking game! How about it, Travis?
For me, I'm a Star Fox guy through and through. Seriously, I think the first time I saw that in like my grandma's basement, my cousins had an SNES over.
Star Fox?
Seeing what the graphics on that, so it's the Super FX chip, which is actually a coprocessor. Again, like Rob was saying, you can plug in and it'll actually use chipsets in the cartridge itself. So it's a coprocessor allowing it to push it a lot further and do 3D graphics, which was really crazy. It like blew my mind. The Super NES is running like, and it is really primitive 3D graphics. But, you know, again, for the time, it was really cool to see. They actually developed the game originally as kind of a test of the Super FX chip to see how far they push it, and they kind of made a little tech demo out of it. It became so fun to play that they actually turned it into a full game. So, Star Fox is really awesome, and it was just really, really, really great on the SNES, so that's my favorite.
Just a post-amble.
Just
post-amble.
Don't have a favorite?
Nope.
That Zelda game, that was...
No. Oh my god, I was trying to figure out which Zelda game I played, and there's like 85 of them, and they all, I can't fucking tell, and they all have the same music, so...
Oh. We know it was better than NES. Sam. We know that it was better than the...
Did I just commit, like, a sin?
Yes.
A nerdy sin?
Post-ramble to Travis's, the
tried and true method that Nintendo had with the Star Fox. In Star Fox 64, it was a hell of a lot like the SNES. Like, just the textures look better, but it was basically but the same, basic game.
Same game, yeah.
But my greatest game was speedruns on Link to the Past. We used to do those before I knew what speedruns were. We were just beating it like three or four times a day during the summer. Wait, wait,
wait. So your best, your game is A Link to the Past.
Yes, but speedruns specifically. Really,
you're sub down in it.
No, I'm not.
Like,
no, just you could, no, because you can do speedruns in
it. No, speedruns.
No, it's playing through the whole game.
Playing through the whole game as fast as possible.
Oh, right. Okay.
Speedruns. Okay. Before I knew what speedruns were, we'd just be like, we got so good at it. It was like, we know exactly what's going on, but right. 4 hours yeah. and you're in the summer, because we were kids.
I'm not a speedrun guy, you know? I like to take it easy.
Take it slow.
Yeah, you got the Xbox. You got Xbox 360 now. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
never finish it, you know?
I did see Foghat this weekend, too, but... same stage as Weird Al. All
right. So,
whoa, back to back?
Oh, dude, jelly!
Hyper-localization. Should have been at Summerfest.
Summerfest!
All right, Larry, yours.
Oh, man, it's such a hard choice. I mean, I like Link to the Past. I love Final Fantasy III. But the game that made me buy the system was Donkey Kong Country. You know, at the time...
It was beautiful.
When you compared the other sort of graphics that were happening and stuff like that, all of a sudden it was just was like, oh, this thing is just blew you away.
Yeah, no, graphically.
As soon as you saw it, it was like, this is the greatest game ever. And so that was...
And the gameplay was good, too. It wasn't just
looks. It was good.
It's a good game.
But the looks would sell you on the game.
And you're talking about Donkey Kong Country, the first one, right?
No, well, that was the one that made me buy the system. Really? And
because it was the first one.
It was the first one, so I bought it. Well, I mean, theoretically, you could be a trailer, which I normally am. And, you know, you'd be like, oh, everyone's playing Donkey Kong. And then Donkey Kong Country 2 comes out, and then you buy that, you know? But, you know, in this case, I was, like, right there with everyone, which is rare enough. And
slitting throats, kicking babies.
Yeah, exactly. I actually finished the game. I completely finished the game.
You heard it, folks. Larry finished the game.
And it was great because there was so many elements to it that were great. So the graphics drew me to it. But then, gameplay, there was, like, hard levels... But after you finished a hard level, there was almost like a rest level.
Yes.
Where you like, it was kind of easier and, you know, not so bad.
It's the cookie.
Yeah.
Here's the cookie.
And if, like, you got to a hard level in the save, you could, like, go back and, like, collect a bunch of extra people, you know, extra guys.
Grind out
extra guys and then go back to the hard level. And that game... It seemed like if you just played it long enough, you would eventually get it. You would make that really hard jump. You would eventually get it.
That's
and it
Nintendo,
was so
that's,
great that way.
That's them at their height of their design. I mean, Nintendo's... This is the
Such
height of
music.
Nintendo. This is when they dominated. There was no question at
Absolutely.
This time that Nintendo was the dominator of the market.
It was so beautiful compared to everything else that was out there.
Except for Brian, who says the Genesis
man.
Is best. Right. Even though it was a great system.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
I love my Genesis.
That was King.
There's so many games like that I just
cranky
absolutely
makes
love.
Sense.
Come on, Ty.
It's
right,
this conversation. Last week, we were talking about the NES. I was trying to think, like, all these great games. It's kind of the same thing. It's like, it's not so much because, I mean, the best game, that's a difficult question because, I mean, what's that best game just in terms of like producing the story and all this stuff? Like,
hey, it's just your
game?
Favorite, man. What? Don't get too.
But I'm saying,
don't
like,
get deep. This isn't a deep dive.
It's going deep. It is a deep dive.
It is. So, and I thought about no. I mean, it's the game that you played most. The game that you can always go back and play. And honestly, my favorite game was a game like we were talking about earlier. Doesn't have saves and it takes freaking forever to beat. And it's one of my favorite games. Zombies Ate My Neighbors. By far.
I was
gonna
mention
that,
but also technically on the Genesis. That's the only reason I didn't bring it up.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, the
to
thing
me.
Is,
but
I
still
had it for
way
Nintendo,
better on the
still,
SNES.
Yes,
graphics
by far.
Were better. Graphics were better, and the controls were easier.
My second was going to be Turtles in Time.
Played the heck out of that.
But Old no, Zombies Ate My Neighbors, oh, so good.
Yes.
So the up third one would have been Earthworm Jim, because it's just so weird and good. But yeah, Zombies Ate My Neighbors.
Earthworm Jim was a good call.
Oh, my God.
That was an amazing game.
Good game.
So, you know, again, I got to go with Larry on this. This is the one that kind of sold me. And again, I did, when doing this system, I was pretty much just doing computer gaming. So I did not have one of these systems till recently, or by recently, within the last 5 years. I got to say, again, Donkey Kong Country. That was, it's a beautiful game.
Danky Kong Country.
I mean, look at the graphics on this. On a 16-bit system, this is...
But I mean, like, the thing is like, the specs were good. They weren't great. But people did really creative things with the graphics. I mean, like, F-Zero and the Type 7 backgrounds on those ones, so you actually look like there's motion and things like that. The pre-rendered graphics in Donkey Kong Country.
Parallax scrolling. Everything. It's got everything for a modern... this one, you see the parallax scrolling going on, where you've got three levels of scrolling going on, and it makes a big difference having that depth to a game. So, yeah, they did, wow, that was amazing.
This is perfect!
That was brilliant! His hand was sitting out there, and a beer appears in it.
That was impressive.
Oh, man.
I thought that's what it was going for! So, yeah.
Dude, you lost the rhino!
Did we distract you? Alright, so again, this was the one that kind of made me like the SNES.
You just died?
Awesome. Now, that being said, I did, when I originally was getting it, it was with emulation.
Especially with Rob's head.
But it did make me buy the hardware. The emulation made me buy the hardware.
Which button makes it work?
Alright.
Hey, y'all. Rob!
Dude, I'm gonna give one of those retro.
I'm gonna go.
Aren't those nice?
I'm gonna go with Total Carnage.
Ooh.
Total Carnage! I loved it because.
That is a good game.
The SNES for me was the game system that I did so much multiplaying with Darlene during our
budding relationship.
Yeah, our early marital years. It was something that we could, we always played together. I mean, we played a lot of great games.
God damn it.
Rob, Total Carnage? Yeah.
Total Carnage was the crazy one with the dinosaurs, right?
No.
What?
It was a rip-off of Smash TV.
No.
Kind of. No. Rob, please enlighten
us. I mean, it had... I guess it had that idea, but
yeah,
no.
It was
much further. It was top-down. It was more of a rip-off of Rob.
It was the top-down.
Commando. Maybe.
But it was the top-down version.
Just like Rob.
Yeah.
The demo on Donkey Kong, whoever ran this is like the worst Donkey Kong player in the world.
Yeah.
You guys are watching. They're so bad. Oh my god.
That was me.
Well, you suck.
Dang.
No, they
You're
can't
such
see
an
it.
Asshole.
Yeah, they can't see
it. All right.
She died.
Which
early.
Is why it's funny.
So, anyway, Total Carnage, it was so much like the arcade machine.
By the way, that Total
number two,
Carnage
you could play
was
that.
Smash TV.
No, it was not.
Total Carnage.
It had some things that were like Smash TV, but no, it had a lot of scrolling.
Top down shooter. Which Total Carnage did. Total Carnage was a fictional.
I mean, at that point, you can say, it was a Robotron clone. I mean, if you're going to go that way.
It was a Bomb-tron.
If you're going to say that basic mechanic, you're going to have to go to Robotron, which is the first of that kind, although there might be an older one. I'll probably get corrected, but.
You're wrong.
Always. But anyway, wrong. No, the game was excellent. Just, it was a collect 'em up, too. And I love collect 'em ups. Pick up shit. Give me new weapons. Let me kill stuff.
Oh,
and it was brutally
crap.
Hard.
Who's up?
Alright, so anyway, we're going to go play some Donkey Kong.
Yeah, we are playing Donkey Kong Country here right now.
Yep.
So, take us out.
Yep. Thank you very much for watching Guys Games and Beer. What? Ben?
I'm waving.
He's waving goodbye.
Oh,
waving.
Nice.
Oh, that's nice. Hey, I want to talk more
about
Bye,
Chief. He's showing his armpit hair.
You want to see this?
It's armpit hair. Come on. Let's see it. Come on.
Only the viewers
get
to
view this.
He's a masculist.
I will say, of the various gaming systems, SNES is one of my favorites.
Thanks, Larry.
I'm not sure.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay,
Larry.
Please check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Also, we are on Twitter.
You're
at GuysGamesBeer.
No ad, because
no
why
ad.
Are we on Twitter?
Yeah.
I'm the dankiest of kangs.
And on Facebook, it's www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. And by the way, go to both those places because we give away games all the time. And our Facebook is a riot.
Yes. Yes, it is.
I need to make an account so I can get out of Twitter.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we Twitter your daughter.